Well, how many are glad you are in the presence of God today? Amen. Wow. Whew. You ready for the word this morning? Just remain standing with me. And I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. I wrote that book. And no, I'm kidding. 1 Samuel chapter 9. You know, I want to say something about the blessing week real quick. I just noticed one of our pastors sitting up here, Pastor Eric Klein-Wasink. That big food distribution, he has been over-orchestrating that because we're taking care of all the big chiller refrigerator trucks, getting all these trucks to places and everything. And he did all the logistics on this blessing week. And you should have seen it. The cars were lined up, folks, clear down 44th Street. It was lined up. And this guy, the organization, God gave kudos to you, Pastor Eric. And we thank God for the gift in you, buddy. So just wanted you all to know that. Amen. Everybody fills their purpose, right? Including you. You have a purpose. The thing is that so many people miss their purpose because God is creating intersections that they're not paying attention to. And the reason they're not paying attention to the intersection is because it does not have this ethereal feel to it. You have not heard a booming voice from God, and you're missing an intersection in something very common in your life. This is going to be a very important word for many of you today. So I want to take you to an important intersection in King Saul's life. He didn't know it, but something very common yet supernatural was happening. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 3. It says, one day Kish's donkey strayed away, and he told Saul, take a servant with you and go look for the donkeys. So Saul took one of the servants and traveled throughout the hill country of Ephraim, the land of Salacia and Shalem area, and the entire land of Benjamin. But they couldn't find the donkeys anywhere. Finally, they entered the region of Zuph. And Saul said to his servant, let's go home. By now, my father will be more worried about us than about the donkeys. But the servant said, I've just thought of something. There is a man of God who lives here in this town. He is held in high honor by all the people because everything he says comes true. Let's go find him. Perhaps he can tell us which way to go. Maybe you're at a place that you're stocking shelves at a grocery store and you don't see any value of it at all. Or maybe you've just been laid off and you're really good at HR, but now what you're doing is you're probably just maybe at a job where you're going, this is not even my wheelhouse. I'm so overeducated for this. And you're going, I don't know which way to go. There's something you need to do. You need to pay attention to the donkeys. Pay attention to the donkeys. You're at an important intersection, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, keep chasing donkeys. Tell them that. Just keep chasing donkeys. You can be seated. Amen. How many of you live in life on purpose? Okay, those of you that have not downloaded this, those of you watching for the first time on our online campus right now, I want those of you on our online campus to go download the app, get it, and listen to the whole series about living your life on purpose. And if you're here this morning and haven't done it, do it because it's going to be very, very important. I want to live life on purpose my whole life. How about the rest of you? I mean, today my mom turns 91 years old today and still lives life on purpose. 91! So you're watching, Mom. Happy birthday, Mom. 91 years. Y'all want to sing happy birthday to her? Okay. Grandma Jan, okay? Grandma Jan. All right, y'all ready? Mom, this is for you. This is a gift from all of us here at Grand Rapids First just for you. All right, you ready? Now, you remember your son. He sings really good. You remember that? Okay, here we go. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Grandma Jane. Happy birthday to you. from your favorite son. Amen. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, brothers. Amen. I don't want to live that way till I suck in my last breath. I want to be living life on purpose, kicking the devil's brains in. That's what I was created for. That's what you're created for. The problem is we don't pay attention to common things that are strategic intersections for our life, and we miss our purpose because we're dissing the common things. Now, I don't know about you, but where we're getting ready to move into our home, there is an intersection there. And every time there are cars coming every direction, and if you don't pay to the intersections and you diss them and you're not paying attention to your surroundings, you could destroy something bad. You might even destroy your purpose if you're not paying to the intersections of life. My point is that there are God-ordained intersections that bring you to your purpose. He's using people, he's using events, he's using the job that you wonder, what am I doing in this job, or why I'm in school, or why am I studying this, or he's bringing a divine intersection, and you need to pay attention because you might just say, ah, let's just go home, and miss your destiny because you're just tired of doing the common things like chasing donkeys. Pay attention. It's a part of the purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, pay attention. So here's the first thing that I want you to see out of this story that I want you to pay attention to. It's the routine responsibilities of your life. The routine responsibilities, like getting up on time and showing up to work on time, getting your work done, brushing your teeth, really good one. All those kind of things, the disciplines of your life, the routine things that you think are just mundane. I'm gonna go down to the tire shop. That's all I do is I change tires, I rotate tires. That's all I ever do. That's all I ever do. I just come to the same job, work the same spreadsheet. Pay attention to the routine responsibilities of your life because you may just be blowing your purpose and you're not paying attention to an intersection. I hate this class. I don't know why I have to take this class. This is so dumb. I'll never use calculus. Pay attention to the routine common things that God says be responsible for, like just making your bed every day. I think I just lost the whole crowd. Just like that, it was gone. I was anointed and boom, just left. The anointing just left. The common things. Because here's what God does. Did you notice how many times the word donkeys was used in this? How many times was the word donkeys used in this? Now, let me take you to donkeys in the context of that day. In the context of that day, what you would probably say is a minivan. My pickup truck. My car. God used a common vehicle of the day, a soccer mom minivan, to bring forth a divine purpose. And it's so common, you see them every day, but you have no idea that it is something that is a routine of the day that you're missing. And he just about stopped chasing minivans. See, be careful not to only have this ethereal view. See, I think we especially Pentecostal, full gospel, charismatic, whatever you want to put on it, the people that believes in the gifts of the Spirit, the operation of the Spirit, just like you saw, heard this morning, somehow we want to put God in this ethereal realm where we always got to have God going, I just feel my spirit. You don't think it's important unless Jesus himself appears before you in your devotional time, and then you had a word from God that finally it's God. We put God so far out there that he only exists outside of what we hear and what we see. That's the only place. I got to get the heebie-jeebies up and down my back till I feel this is God. And then the Spirit's really moving in the service. And if it's not feeling the heebie-jeebies the way you want to feel the heebie-jeebies, you don't think we're moving by the Spirit in the church. What you have done is you have taken God in the common and you don't put him in the common. You shove him completely in an ethereal view and you're going to miss the most common donkeys in your life. Because if we're going to talk about the common things, the routine things of life, the root, be be careful that you are not dissing the common routines of life that you despise right now, because they are leading you to your purpose. That's why so many people don't take care of the routine responsibilities of life. So many times God uses donkeys in the scripture. I mean, just think about this time. Saul searching for donkeys, not realizing that it's ultimately going to lead him to the intersection to become the first king of Israel chosen by God. And God uses a minivan, a pickup truck, so you'll understand it better this way. To follow those things, the routine, God uses donkeys all the time. Look at Balaam, an evil prophet. Here is Balaam who's going to come curse the people of God. And what does God use? God uses a common minivan, a donkey, because he's too stupid to listen to God. So God allows a donkey to speak to keep him from going the wrong direction, a common vehicle. Look at it. Absalom, who's now wanting to overthrow King David's kingdom by leading a rebellion against his own father. But what does God do? He sends him on a ride with nothing but a donkey, and God steers a common donkey into a thicket, whereby it ends the rebellion of Absalom and gives back the kingdom to David. Are you watching this stuff? Common things. When Jesus was being carried inside of his mother's womb to go to Bethlehem, whereby he could be Jesus, the Son of God, that would die for our sins, God used a common minivan to get him there. You're missing the common things that get you there. You remember when Jesus, his triumphal entry? How many remember that? You remember? Come on. As a kid, they gave you palm branches on Palm Sunday. You remember his triumphal entry? You remember that? Before his crucifixion? What did he do? God uses a common donkey, and he tells him. He says, go into the village. You'll find a colt, a donkey, a colt that has never been ridden. Go get it. A common minivan. And look where they found him. Watch this. Look at this in Mark. Look at Mark's account of this story. This is really cool. Look at this. Mark 11:4 says, and when they went their way, they found the colt, the donkey, tied by the door without in a place where two ways meet. At an intersection where two roads cross, he said, you're going to find a common thing that has never been ridden, and people don't ever look for the common things of their life, and they're blowing past it, and that's why they never get to the intersection of God taking them to their purpose. And you remember what happens? Boy, when you find the common things, God's glory can be seen through the common things. In fact, look at this ordinary donkey with me just for a moment. When that ordinary donkey was in the right place at the right time and Jesus paid attention to the common things, he rode on that donkey into that triumphal entry. You remember the story? Come on. People are waving their palm branches. They're laying down garments. And they're saying, blessed is he, comes the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And they're Jesus' triumphal entry. And then they're all applauding. They're all going crazy. Crowd's going wild. But let me tell you what happens when you use your common things and let God's glory and the supernatural get on them. The common thing becomes an uncommon thing when you let Jesus start getting in it and on it. Because when he gets lifted up on your common skill, your common talent, your common ability, he starts getting lifted up. And when he gets lifted up, you get lifted up with him. I know that poor donkey was thinking, man, look at everybody clapping for me. Look at that. Look at that. You're clapping for me. Man, I must look pretty today. I must not smell as bad today. Look at all them. They weren't praising. They were not praising that donkey. They were praising on what was on the common thing and working through the common thing. Are you listening to what I say? So next time, sir, you go into that boardroom and say, yeah, it was my ability to forecast the future that we have made it through this coronavirus. Slow down, motor scooter. It was the Holy Spirit that anointed your ability, gave you the degree, gave you the talent, gave you the intellect, and you ought to give all glory to God, because they're not clapping for you, donkey. They're clapping for what is on the donkey and working through the common thing. The problem is we start dissing the common thing and we never make the intersection. I'm just a volunteer. See, your value does not come from what you do. Your value comes from who you carry. Preaching is what I do, but my value is not my preaching. My value is who's inside Sam Reifkova. That's my value. And there are people that are just dissing things. You're dissing your common things. So you're never going to get to your purpose when the intersection meets. showing up to work late, not praying, not reading your word, lost your disciplines. Those common things are taking you somewhere. You got to be responsible. You have to be routine responsibilities that God's watching so his glory. Some people are blowing it and just getting tired of doing the common things, so you're just quitting. Oh. Y'all seem a little quiet today. I really thought about calling this jackass theology. That woke you up finally. You're alive. Thank you. God bless you. You're finally alive. I should have called it jackass, announced it. I'm going to talk about jackass theology this week. There, some of you finally woke up for crying out loud. I appreciate it. I didn't want to call it jackass theology. I've said jackass so much this morning already. My wife is turning red on the front row right now. I was afraid if I called it that, too many would be more upset about the title than you were getting the message that God's trying to tell you. Can you believe he didn't? Well, it's already out there. It's out there among y'all. See, the problem is that when you dis being a mom, changing diapers and cooking the meal, when you dis as a dad, taking care of yourself and the routine of even coming to church, when you dis the routine of these simple things, you are getting weary in the routine. You're getting weary in the common. Now, look what happened to Saul is the same thing that can happen to you as a woman and you as a man. So you can begin to happen. They started searching the hill country of Ephraim. They started searching the area of Salacia, where Shalim was. And then they started looking through Benjamin, and they get to Zuph, and he finally says this. Look at this. Look at this. Verse 5. Finally, they entered the region of Zuph, and Saul said to his servant, let's just go home. Let's just quit this routine stuff. That's code language for I quit. Tired of the marriage, let's quit. Tired of going to church, let's quit. Tired of making my bed, let's quit. Tired of going to school, let's quit. How are we doing this morning? I'm tired of praying for my kid, let's quit. The common routine, the reason we get weary is just like Saul. Here's why we're getting weary. Here's why I get weary when this happens to me. I cannot tell you how many times I said, why don't we just stop doing this? Nobody cares. There's been a light change in here. Why don't we just quit? Let me explain something for a moment. What we do is we do the same thing like Saul, and we don't attach the supernatural thing God is doing in the natural things that we're doing. Because to see the intersections, you must view life through spiritual eyes. You must view what's happening in the common through spiritual eyes. And if you don't connect the physical with the spiritual, if you don't connect the ordinary with the extraordinary, you will miss your anointing. You will miss your purpose. You will miss your destiny. And you got to take what you're doing on that assembly line. And you got to take what you're doing as a volunteer and take it very seriously. You got to take very seriously what you're doing, the disciplines as a teenager, because God is watching every bit of that, because one day he's going to take that common thing, because you've been looking, Lord, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm still stuck in this job, but Lord, I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to give my very best. When I come to church, I'm going to give my best prayer, because I know somehow, some way, this donkey is going to meet a crossroads and it's going to take me to my calling and my purpose and my destiny for life. Come on, can somebody start seeing that God uses the donkeys of your life as a tool in your hand? Look at this. Donkeys are the tools in the hand of the master, and they lead you straight to your destiny. So what's your donkey this morning? What's a donkey you've been neglecting? A common thing. The common practice of reading the word, the common time of just praying, the common of just taking care of your own body, the common things. What is the common thing that God is speaking to you about at home? The common thing. What is he talking to you about? It could be your skill. It could be your craft. It could be your passions. It could be any of those things. I'd be taking notes to say, Holy Spirit, what are you talking to me about? A common thing that you want me to pay attention to this morning and be responsible to the routine of the common things. So here's the deal. He didn't get up that morning searching for, I'm gonna be king. He didn't do that. He was searching for donkeys, not for destiny. The point is, what you need to do is say, I want to be a star. I want to be the next star. I want to be the next, you know, internet sensation. Stop. Just go look for a donkey and chase it. And when you search for a donkey, it's going to run into a destiny at some point. While Saul's trying to find donkeys, he runs into the destiny. While you're taking care of yourself, you're going to run into your purpose. You're going to find those things. So I'm telling you, attach the routine responsibilities to what God is doing in the supernatural and watch your purpose start unfolding while you're chasing and taking care of the routine responsibilities of your life, and watch it unfold. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Come on, folks, how many know what you have, your craft, your skill, your ability, that's the routine donkeys that God wants to use in your life. And the crowd went wild. Wow. That's what God's telling us. Take care of the routine responsibilities. Here's the next thing. Don't miss what God's doing. You need to get in the right relationships. And just because they can speak in tongues does not mean it's the right relationship. Who you associate with determines if you'll fulfill your purpose. It'll determine. You've got to have the right relationships. Now watch this. Paul is saying, I'm throwing in the towel. I quit. I've been through all this stuff. We've been going to all these different places. We've not found a thing. This is not working. This is the 12th church we've been to this year. It's not working. I quit. But look what happened. 1 Samuel 9:6. The servant said, I just thought of something. There's a man of God who lives here in this town. He is held in high honor by all the people because everything he says comes true. Let's go find him. He didn't say, you might want to go that way. He says, no, I'm going to walk in partnership with you to go find him, and perhaps he can tell us which way we are to go. Paul would have missed being the first king of Israel if he would have connected with some lazy, lethargical friend who didn't want to see him succeed, saying, yeah, I'd give up too, man. Let's go home. Yeah, forget it, man. The boss is not watching anyway. Just leave it. Somebody else will do the work after us. Somebody will find them donkeys. Just think what would have happened if he would have been in the wrong relationship. Thank God for people like that servant who walked with you and me and say, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. Thank God for the parents that looked at us as teenagers when we said, I want to give up. And they said, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, we're not. We spent too much for those braces for you not to put those retainers in. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, no, we're not. Thank God for the worship leader. Thank God for the pastor that sat by you when he watched your life going astray and said, oh, no, you're not. Thank God for the person in your small group that when you stopped showing up to church and you got offended, they said, oh, no, you're not. Thank God for the mentor on your job that said, oh, no, you're not. Thank God for the school teacher that looked at a student and said, oh, no, you're not. Thank God there was somebody who said, let's go find it. In fact, here's what, not only are you not, but I'm going to walk this journey with you till we get an answer. I'm going to walk with you till you get over this addiction. I'm going to walk with you till your marriage gets restored. I'm going to stay with you. Come on, church. How many of you believe you better make sure you're connected to the right people who are walking with God? One of the reasons why God has given me blessing and favor in my life, it's because of the people I chose to leave in my life and the people I chose to walk away from. I'm choosing to walk with people who walk with God. They walk with God. Man, it is powerful. He made it because he had the right voice around him. Not a bunch of critical people chiming with, yeah, I agree. Boy, I tell you, that leader, just that boss, he's just too tough. No. I look for the person that says, let's go find an answer and let's go find God's purpose in all this. Let's go find it. King Saul, I love King Saul's son, Jonathan. Remember Jonathan who helped David find and fulfill his purpose? Here's King Saul who becomes the enemy of David, wants to kill David so he won't be king, following him because God has rejected him. Think about this just for a moment. And while David is running from King Saul, look at this. The right people around are so important. Look at 1 Samuel 23:16. It said, Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith, to stay strong in his faith. Why? To stay strong, because he was tired of the routine common donkey of forgiving the man who wanted to throw spears at him. He says, oh no, you're not. You're gonna stay with your destiny. You're gonna stay with your purpose. Thank God for the people that you intentionally put around you that will challenge you, that will grow you, that will say, come on, let's do this together. One person cannot lift 38,000 pounds of food, but people who cling together can lift 38,000 pounds of food. Are you watching this, friends? Listen, look at David. David and Jonathan, that tight bond. Listen, these people are there to make you more godly, to help you hear your purpose from God. David was more godly because of Jonathan in his life, and Jonathan was more godly because of David in his life, the tight bond. And here's something to notice. When Jonathan was killed, it was after Jonathan was killed that David's life sinks into catastrophic sin, and he's doing crazy things like sleeping with another woman. He's doing foolish things like committing murder. Is when Jonathan escaped his life. If Jonathan would have still been around, he'd have said, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. And if he did something wrong, he says, well, then here's how we're going to come out of this. Notice that David did not go into catastrophic sin until Jonathan had died and he was no longer in his life. Friends, I'm telling you, if you want to see your destiny, you better start choosing wisely who's going to speak into your life. I'm telling every single person in here, whether you're in your 20s, whether you're in your 30s or 40s, you better be careful who you date. You better be careful who you marry. Okay, there's some people not saying amen too loud, so just leave them alone. Are you listening to what I'm talking about, friends? You better find out who is influencing you right now. And I don't care if they speak in tongues or not. Who is influencing you? You need to know now. Counsel with godly people. Association determines destination. Who I choose to put myself with, you got to have the right relationship. And how do I pick the right leader? How do I pick that person? The same way this servant knew you need to go to Samuel. Here's how he knew. Look at this, 1 Samuel 3:19. It says this, as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. He didn't lie. He didn't cheat on his IRS return. He was a guy that was honorable. He was honest in business. If he said he was going to show up, he was going to show up. He was a man of his word. He was integrous. His words were prophetic. And even the servant said, just like when he was a kid, he's been this way his whole life. So we need to connect with somebody like that. Can I tell you, we're not perfect people, but you need to find somebody in this church that has overcome in their marriage, that has overcome in their business, that God has used them to be mature. Show them how to overcome an addiction and walk with them, because association determines your destination of going to your purpose. All right, we're coming in for a landing. Don't miss the common intersections of who you're with, the common things God's given you to do. And then here's the deal. You got to get a word from the Lord about your purpose. You may not have all of it, but there's a revelation God gives you. And you've got to constantly recall that revelation. You need to bring his word back up. You need to bring what he said to you privately back up. You need to take what he said in his word and bring it. God had a word for Saul for his purpose, and God has a word for you for his purpose. It may not come with somebody actually saying it, telling it to you, but he'll start revealing that as you let those common things begin to surface and bring the supernatural into the common things that you do. Look at this. God gives him a word. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Here's the word Samuel gives Saul. He said, then Saul took a flask of oil and poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, I am doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be ruler over Israel, his special possession. But look when this word came, because in that time, that Old Testament, those prophets were actually the voice of God to the people. It was actually the voice to him. You have the Holy Spirit that is the voice to you. Now I want you to see something. Leading up to receiving this word, Samuel invites Saul to have dinner with him. And then he says, I want you to stay the night. But the next morning, when Saul and his servant get ready to head out, there's something interesting Samuel says to do. 1 Samuel chapter 9, 27. Look at this. Samuel told Saul to send his servant on ahead. After the servant was gone, Samuel said, stay here, for I have received a special message for you from God. Here's the point, friends. When it comes to God giving you that purpose, mama can't give it to you. Your pastor can't give it to you. What the prophet was saying is, if you really want this word from God, you go separate from the person that got you this far and you get alone with God. Because where you're gonna find that word is when everybody else is away and it's just God speaking to you. So the Holy Spirit, friends, I believe right now that God knows the purpose for your life. You've gotta get alone with God and say, Lord, would you start speaking to me? And then when he starts speaking to you, I want you to write down the scriptures. I want you to write down the things he's revealed to you. And then as you go through life, when you get tired of the common things, when you're just said, I'm just weary doing the common things. I'm getting weary in doing good, Pastor. I'm getting weary in doing well. Recall, bring those words back to them. Let them be revealed to you. Those things that God spoke to you in that alone time, I want you to write it down. I want you to start writing down what he says to you. Because here, I love this scripture, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it linger, you wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. What do you think would have happened if King Saul would have continued to stay close to Samuel? What would happen if he would continue to stay close? Saul would have stayed close to the voice of the Lord. What would have happened? What if Saul would have always recalled what God told him and what was given to him? What would have happened? He'd have been one of the most successful kings. But look what happens when he disobeys and gets away from God, and he disobeys God. In less than five chapters, his purpose is completely demolished and he's rejected by God. Five chapters later, it's over. Friends, how many believe the place we're going to find it is in our time in the secret place with God alone and say, God, start speaking to me. Start talking to me. I'll never forget when God showed me. I didn't hear this big ethereal voice, boom. I got strong impressions from the Lord. I remember closing my eyes and seeing this image in front of me. And the Lord says, I want you to pay attention to that image. I was just 17 years old. 17. But then I had to take care of the common things. Like if I wanted to be a preacher, I need to read the word more than once a week. If I wanted to be in ministry, go some commonplace where nobody knows your name or who you are. You never get a pat on your back. So every week, I'd go into the rest home, sing my songs, take what scripture God gave me and break it down. I'd be preaching like a house of fire to a bunch of senior citizens in a government-run rest home. I'd be preaching, you're gonna die, you're gonna go to hell. And they... I remember one time I was singing and two ladies broke out in a fist fight right there, wheelchair to wheelchair, like just like windmills. 17 years old, they start going fist to cuffs right there in front of me. I'm all by myself. No other teenagers, no pastor. My pastor said, you feel like you're called? You go down there and I expect to see you there every Sunday. This is not here. This is here because it's just a simple, common thing. I didn't know it all. The common things, waking up every morning with my brothers before school, taking care of our family, go to a big department store, and my job was cleaning the toilets after the long weekend of people. The cleaning that John taught me discipline. Taking care of other people's messes, and they never say appreciate it. I was 12 years old doing that, 13. My brothers worked me like a rented mule, a rented donkey. It's my brothers. What's your common thing? This didn't just happen. What's your common thing? What's your common thing? Who you running with? Who you running with? Who's telling you, come on, let's go together. We're going to hear from God. We're going to walk this together. We're going to mentor your marriage. We're going to see it. We're going to see it survive. Not just survive, we're going to see it thrive. What's the common thing? And you get alone with God and you hear from him. And it may not all be coming together, but you write that and say, God, this is what you told me when I was 17. I remember that. I remember seeing that. I remember that conversation with that pastor. I remember that conversation over here. I remember this person that mentored me. I remember my brother-in-law taking me under his wing. I remember this person taking me there. They're all playing together, amen? Don't miss the intersections. Don't miss intersections. Ooh, how many are glad you came to the house of God today? I am. Come on.